Do you realize, beloved, that you're going to live forever? That there is a resurrection of the just and the unjust, of those that have been justified by God and those who have refused to believe in Jesus Christ. One is to eternal life. The other is to eternal condemnation. And how do you know whether it's for you, whether life is for you or not? It's a matter of loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. We'll talk about it today. The battle is heating up. Jesus is telling parables. The Pharisees, the scribes, the elders all recognize that he is talking about them, that they are the ones that are rejecting the invitation of the king. He has just told them that many are called, but few are chosen. And as he says this, they plot at how they might trap him with his words. They want a reason to accuse him. They want a reason to put him to death. And so it says in Matthew chapter 22, then the Pharisees went and they plotted together how they might trap him in what he said. I think it's very important, beloved, for you to mark the phrase, they plotted together. Because what I want you to see, that the battle is raging, that it is getting more intense. The lines are being drawn, and the scribes and the Pharisees are showing their true colors. Now, as we look at this, it says, and they sent their disciples to him. Oh, they wouldn't go in person, but they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you are truthful and that you teach the way of God in truth, and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. Listen to them. Listen to the cunningness of their words. Listen to their conniving words. Listen to their hypocrisy. These are the disciples of the hypocrites. And Jesus in Matthew 23 is really going to expose them. He is going to call them hypocrites. He is going to call them blind leading blind. And here, they are blind, and they are speaking with a forked tongue. They are saying, we know that you speak truth. We know that you are a teacher of integrity. And yet, their teachers, their leaders want to plot together against Jesus. They want to trap him. What they forget is they're dealing with the Son of Man, who is the Son of God, who is the Son of David, who will someday sit on his throne and judge these very men and the ones that sent them and cast them into the lake of fire because their names were not written in the book of life, because they were erased, and because their deeds were evil. He goes on to say, tell us then. They go on to say, tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar? Now, Matthew, the tax collector, is writing this account. A poll tax was the very smallest tax that was paid, and yet it was paid to Caesar. Now, the women paid that poll tax from the age of 12 to 65. The men paid that toll tax from the age of 14 to 65. They were required to pay the tax. So what if he says to them, no, they should not pay the poll tax? Well, remember, there are the disciples of the Pharisees there. There are the disciples of the scribes there. But there are also the Herodians there. This is the first time that you find mention of the Herodians in the Gospel of Matthew. It's the first and it's the last time. Who were the Herodians? The Herodians were political activists that supported Herod. So if they supported Herod, they supported the poll tax. So what did the Pharisees bring with them? They brought with them the Herodians. So if he says, no, they shouldn't pay taxes to Caesar, then the Herodians have a case against him because he, a Jew, is going against the Roman rulers. If he says yes, then he's going against the scribes and Pharisees who feel that Caesar and Herod is really an enemy of the Jews and they shouldn't be paying poll tax. So they think they have him. They think they have him. But watch. But Jesus, perceiving their malice. Now what Jesus is telling us is they come with forked tongue. They are full of malice. They are full of evil. They are full of hatred. He says, perceiving their malice, he said, why are you testing me, you hypocrites? You two-faced people, you wearers of a mask, you say one thing and you do another. You've met people like that, haven't you? You've met people who profess to love God and yet you look at their deeds and you know that they don't even know God. They're hypocrites. He says, show me the coin that is used for the poll tax. And they brought him a denarius. A denarius was a day's wage. It was a small coin. So they show him the denarius. And when they show him the denarius, he said to them, whose likeness and whose inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. Then he said to him, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Awesome, awesome answer. If it has Caesar's face on it, give it to Caesar. But give to God what is God's. You know, there's a great lesson here for us because we are not only to worship God and to treat God as holy and live holy lives, but if we live in the world, we're under the laws of the world. And we are to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar. And then if you find yourself saying, but I belong to God and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pay my taxes because look at what the government does with our money. You can't say that because you're living under a government. In Romans, he tells us that we are to be subject to all authorities because there is no authority that is not permitted by God. He tells us also something that we need to learn, especially in America and the way that we talk about our president and talk to our president, that we are to treat people with great respect, with great respect. And yet we do not do that. We are to treat leaders with great respect. Well, it says, hearing this, they were amazed, and leaving him, they went away. Now, what is Matthew doing at this point? Matthew is showing us how the Pharisees are coming against Jesus. Now he wants to show us how the Sadducees are coming against Jesus. The Sadducees were, in a sense, more liberal, and yet they held to the letter of the law, while the Pharisees held to the word of God and to their tradition. They equated their tradition, and in other words, what they did is they made the Talmud, the writings and the teachings, equal with the Tanakh, and they do that today. The Tanakh is the whole Old Testament, from Genesis to Second Chronicles, because their Bible ends with Second Chronicles, but it includes Zechariah and Malachi, the last two books of our Bible. And so on that day, verse 23, some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and questioned him. Now, they are plotting against him, and they believe that there is no resurrection, and they are going to try and trap him also. And so they were asking, Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother as next of kin shall marry his wife and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers with us, and the first married and died. And having no children, he left his wife to his brother. So also the second and the third, down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they had all married her. Now, what? Remember, they don't believe in a resurrection. Remember, they are trying to trap him. Remember, what they are doing is they are taking the law that Moses gave. And in taking the law that Moses gave, they intend to show him there's no resurrection, because it's absolutely ridiculous. Because she married 7 times, never had a child, died and went to heaven. So who's going to be her husband? Well, Jesus answers that, and I love the way he answers that, and we're going to look at it. Then I want to go back and look at that law, because there's something very interesting about that. Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken. You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures." Not knowing the scriptures is another way to write it or translate it. Not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Do you realize, beloved, that you can take this book and you can read it from cover to cover and still not know it? There's so many times when I talk to people. I remember one time when I was on 60 Minutes and when I was talking to the man that was interviewing me. He was Jewish, but he did not read the Word of God. The interview was terrible. The way they edited it made me look not good. But I really had prayed, and I really felt that no matter what they did on the program, that I was to have a witness to all those men that interviewed me literally for hours. And as I talked to that man, I said, "How can you, a Jew, disagree when you haven't even read God's book?" And I said, I don't know how you can be an honest reporter and not read the Word of God and sit in judgment on it. He turned to the Sadducees, and this is what he said to them. He said, "You are mistaken. You are mistaken, not understanding, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." Oh, beloved, the whole purpose of this program is to keep you from being mistaken. It's to help you know the scriptures. It's to help you to understand what you read. It is to help you understand the power of God. Because Jesus said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." There's power in this word, beloved, because this word is the very words of God. Holy men of God wrote, they spoke, as they were moved by the Spirit of God. What do I want to show you next in all of this? I want you to understand what Jesus was doing in taking the law of Moses and talking about the resurrection. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Oh, beloved, what a privilege it is to stand here in Jerusalem with the Jaffa Gate at my back, with the walls of Jerusalem, with the Citadel of David, and to have the privilege of teaching you the Gospel of Matthew. I thank God so much for you. I thank Him that you want to know truth, that you want to study the Word of God, that you want to go through the Bible book by book and chapter by chapter and verse by verse. How I pray that you have downloaded the study guide and that you are studying along with me, because you are going to learn so much. As the Sadducees came to Jesus in an attempt to trap him also on the matter of the resurrection, they used Deuteronomy chapter 25 as their source of what happens when a man has a wife and she has no children and he dies. I want to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5. When brothers live together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the deceased shall not be married outside the family to a strange man. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her to himself as wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. It shall be that the firstborn whom she bears shall assume the name of the dead brother, so that his name will not be blotted out in Israel. The family name is so important. The family is so important in the Jewish life. And so God has made this rule. Now, it's so interesting because when we began Matthew, we saw the names of women that were in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. One of them was Tamar. Tamar, who bore a son, Perez, to Judah. She was Judah's daughter-in-law. And Judah would not give his final son to Tamar because he was afraid he would die as his previous two sons had died. And so she dressed herself as a prostitute. Judah came along the road. He hired her. He conceived a child by her. And here is Tamar's name in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You can go back to Genesis chapter 38 and read that account if you want. Well, the Sadducees think that they have him trapped. Now watch what Jesus says. He says in verse 29, and I'll read it again, "You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." In other words, we are going to be resurrected. Those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, those of us that have repented and believed in the King of Kings, in Jesus Christ, and have allowed him to rule our life, those who have of us who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to be resurrected. But in that resurrection, we're not going to be married. We're going to be like the angels in heaven. Now, it doesn't say the angels are sexless because we see that they appear as men. But rather, we are not going to marry, nor are we going to be given in marriage. He says, "But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God?" He's taking them back to the scriptures again. God said, "I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living." In other words, Abraham still lives. Isaac still lives. Jacob still lives. And someday we're going to sit down in the kingdom with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This life is not all there is. The grave is not the end. There is a resurrection, beloved. And when the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Because they had different ones. Many of them said the third commandment was the great commandment. And Jesus answered, he says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment and the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Listen, with all your mind. If you're going to love him with all your mind, then you have to put your mind into the Word of God. And you have to know the words of God. You cannot be like the Sadducees who do not understand or know the scriptures nor the power of God. And then he said, "This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked him a question. Let's just stop for a minute. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. In other words, what he has just done is he has summarized the law for them, beginning with the fact that you shall have no other gods before him. Rather, you are to love God. You are to love him. You are to love him with all your heart. You are to love him with all your soul, with every fiber of your being. You are to love him with all your mind. And you are to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you love your neighbor as yourself, beloved, then you're going to honor your mother and father. Then you're not going to bear false witness. Then you're not going to steal. Then you're not going to covet your neighbor's wife or servant or anything else. It's all summarized in those. He makes it very simple, doesn't he? Just love me with every fiber of your being and love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Well, it says, now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ, the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. And Jesus said to them, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. He wanted them to see and to understand that he's not just the son of David, but he is the son of God. He goes on to say, if David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? Now no one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question. The plotting, the schemes, the interrogation of the Pharisees, of the Sadducees, of the Herodians was over. In the next chapter in Matthew 23, Jesus is going to show exactly who these men are. They are hypocrites. They are leaders of the blind. They are blind men, spiritually blind, and they're leading others to fall into a ditch. And he pronounces woe, woe, woe to them. Beloved, let me ask you a question. Are you trying to trap God? Are you trying to find some accusation against God, some accusation against Jesus that is going to excuse you and keep you from believing? Do you hear the bells in the background? Do you hear the calls of the bells as they call people to worship God, to worship Jesus Christ in the city of Jerusalem? The church bells are ringing, and God is calling you to believe on him, beloved, that you might experience the resurrection unto life. How do you do it? You do it by keeping his commandments. How do you keep his commandments? It's simply loving him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And you're able to do that by the grace of God when you believe on Jesus Christ. I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. Jesus told the Sadducees, you are mistaken. You are mistaken because you do not understand the scriptures nor the power of God. Beloved, in these final minutes that we have today, what is our precept for life? Well, first of all, what I want you to understand is when I talk about loving God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, I'm not talking about some emotional high. I'm talking about a rational love of God, an understanding of God. I'm talking about you giving your heart to Him. Remember, in 2 Chronicles 16:9a, it says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a man whose heart is fully His. He wants all your affections to be on Him. Yes, we will experience emotion, but not always. He wants you to love Him with all your soul. The soul means that expression of who you are. It's that daily life. It's everything that you do. And He wants you to love Him with all your mind, with all your mind. It's not mere emotions. Now, if you're going to do that, you've got to know Him. And the only way that you're going to know Him is to know Him in the Word of God, beloved. And so I want to urge you, to esteem His words more precious than your necessary food. As I stand here in Jerusalem, in the holy city, I want you to know that this is where the King will come. This is where He will reign. This is where all the nations of this earth will come and bow down and worship Him. And so what is God's call to you today? God's call to you is to love God, to love Him with every fiber of your being. And as you love Him with every fiber of your being, then you're fulfilling the purpose for which He created you. He created you in His image. That image has been destroyed and marred by sin. But Jesus can take care of your sins. He came, and this is what Matthew was showing us. He came as the Lamb of God, Emmanuel, God with us. You shall call His name Yeshua. You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. So He came that way, but He also came as King. Remember, He came and the Magi came and said, "Where is He who has been born King of the Jews?" Make sure He's your Savior. Make sure He's your King.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.